And if they don't see us doing the right thing, what incentive are they going to have to do the right thing? But it's not good enough just to do it. You have to say it. You have to teach it. Your testimony is a mini teaching to anybody that hears it, how good God is to you and what he's done in your life. Well, the chapter I want to give from homework, I don't always do this, but I know some of you are taking notes. If you want to read, it's not a whole chapter, but read this. This is a story about the woman at the well. Remember that story, anybody? Jesus met there with her, and he ministered to her. And it's in John chapter 4, verses 1 through 42. I'm just going to go over a couple quick verses in that, but it would be well worth any of you, if you want to learn to witness and lead people to Jesus, this is the chapter to do it. Let me get some pointers from. So when you read it, say, God, open my eyes. Help me to see what Jesus did, how he did it, that I can begin to encourage those things in my own life. The first thing that jumped out at me when I was reading it this week, John 4, is verse 6. This just shows you how real Jesus is and how much he was fully man and fully God. Verse 6, he had a hard day. Anybody ever have a hard day? You have a hard day this week? I had a numerous amount of hard days this week. This coming week is going to be even a little more intense, but we'll make it through this. But this is what struck me, because I was having a hard day that day, and I know this coming week is going to be a very busy, full week. Verse 6, he was at Jacob's well. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Most people think that was around lunchtime, around noon. And here is Jesus. He was wearied. And that's hard to comprehend maybe sometimes. Well, Jesus never gets tired. He was tired. He had a hard day. Maybe it was a long walk or whatever. But you know what he did? Even though he was tired, he pressed through that tiredness to do what God was putting in front of him to do. And that's to meet this lady at the well. Now, this lady was a Samaritan. Jews weren't even supposed to associate with them. They were prejudiced against them. And the Samaritans were kind of against the Jews for the same reason. Neither one of them was right. And Jesus had to set it straight. But the first thing he did when he had eye contact with this lady, never gives her name, we'll find out in heaven, Jesus made contact with her. Kim, you're the lady of the well. And I'm Jesus, and I'm exhausted. I'm ready to fall down. I'm probably sitting on that well, maybe, or a rock or something. And all of a sudden, I felt like I should make contact with this person. So Jesus asked her a question. This is very important. The easiest way to start a conversation with someone is to ask them something. Specifically, ask them a question. You know a good one? Ask them for some help. Because most people would like to help you, but then they might even feel obligated to do it. I don't know, but you ask them a question. Miss, could I have a glass of water? And so she got him a glass of water and handed it to him. And that was the start of this whole chapter, the start of making connection with another person. He was tired, but he asked her for a glass of water. I have a book. This book came out about maybe 15, 20 years ago. It's not even in print anymore. I think I found one or two on the internet, used ones, but this is probably the best book I've ever read on witnessing to people. And if you want to read it, and if you're serious about reading it, the first one up here grabbed out of my hand can use it first. Yeah. I want it back in a couple weeks to loan it to somebody else. But Jesus caught her attention by asking her a question, can I have a glass of water? And so she said, yes, I will give you a glass of water. And if you read the story, or if you remember the story, the bottom line is Jesus led this person to himself as her savior and deliverer and provider and on, all because he took the time to just ask a simple question, something that she could do. She's there at the water. She's getting her own. He didn't ask her to water her 27,000 camels. It was just, I just wanted a glass of water. And so she did it, and that started things going. That's how you and I need to do it. Just ask a simple question and let God flow through you after that. I did want to read the last couple verses. And John 4, I'm going to read the last couple. I'm going to read from verse 39 through 42. And just to give you an amazing encouragement of what can happen to you if you just strike up a conversation with somebody and take them down the road, help them to get thirsty for Jesus, hungry for Jesus. 39, from that city, see, she was so excited. Did anybody ever see this on The Chosen, where Jesus has that conversation with a lady? I just watched it this last week because when I was going to preach this, and then the enthusiasm she must have had when she realized, you're the Messiah. And she was bubbling over with excitement, which she should. And so she just dropped her buckets and ran back to the village to tell others. And his disciples didn't know what was going on. Jesus knew what was going on. Verse 39, from the city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word which the woman had testified. You know what the word testify comes from? Testimony. She gave her testimony. You wouldn't believe it, guys. He told me things that no one could have known about my life. And it's obvious he is the Messiah. And so they came out in a big gob after finding out who this Jesus was after they heard her testimony. He told me all things that I have done. And she didn't even care whether anybody else knew. Some of them weren't all that nice. But she just wanted to share how good God was. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them. And he stayed there two more days. Isn't that like Jesus? I'll drop everything else. Yeah, I'll just stay around with you for a couple days. Many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you have said that we believe. You know your testimony. For we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. All because someone was asked this question to start the conversation going, can I have a glass of water? It doesn't have to be, can I have $1 million? No, just something simple like that. And look where it led to. There's another verse I want to refer to in John chapter 15. I think I referred to it last week's sermon. I'm going to refer to it in Grant's sermon for his friends when I do the funeral this Saturday. It's from John 15, verse 13. And Jesus says this, and yes, he's saying that about himself, but he's also saying it about himself because, Jess, you need to be like this too. You need to have the same attitude I have here. It says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Whether you know the person or not, you need to be willing to try to get in their face and ask them a question that would start a conversation. Now, it doesn't happen every time, but it happens more than you would ever guess. Just give it a try. Micah, for a while, you used to take, you and Esther take some of the youth down for what you called hit and run or something. What was that called, hit and run? I almost said hit and miss. But anyway, sometimes it was a miss, but sometimes it was a hit. Do you remember off the top of your head what percentage of people that you asked them, is there anything I could pray for you for? They said, yes, this, and they prayed on the spot for them, the teens. 50% more or less? Or, pardon? 82.3. That was just the second week. The third week when I'm 82.4, right? No way. You don't know how it's going to play out unless you try it. Greater love has no one than this, that you would lay your life down, ask them a question, get in their face, and see where it would go. You lay your life down because you're concerned that you want them to have a relationship with God like you do, or even better. People want good news. It shouldn't be a surprise. Are you going to get good news watching TV for hours on end? Probably not. Are you going to get good news by watching political ads? Tuesday night, it should be over with, but who knows? Are you going to get good news by reading the paper? Marcy's one brother is an editor of a paper out in Spokane, and he said, papers are really becoming obsolete. He said, what do you do to keep drawing in people to read the paper? Oh, you have to advertise and publicize the most horrible stories you can come up with so people buy the paper and read it. That's really good news, right? But the only place you and I are ever going to really get good news on a regular basis is to go to God in His Word, in prayer, in worship, and let Him give us the good news. Now, most people want good news, but many times they would never admit it, that they want the gospel. But when you share that gospel with them, they're going to hear it. They're going to take it in. They're going to process it. Maybe some of them will just throw it away. But you don't know who that's going to be. So you just share that good news in the hopes that God will use that to plant a seed in their heart that could grow. I forget who it was that said to them, most people, I think it was Josh McDowell, an old pastor buddy. Some of you went with me to see Josh McDowell. I think you were there, weren't you? Years ago. Pardon? Anyway, he said, usually most people take about 10 tries before they start to lighten up and try to listen to what you're really saying. So you might be only number 4 or 5 or 6. You might be over 9, but sometimes you're going to be number 10. And they're going to want what you have to say. And whether they admit it or not, they really do want good news. Why wouldn't you want good news? As I was thinking about this, you see, this is how I do the sermons. The hardest part, the most time-consuming, many times, is just coming up with a topic. So I go up to my room. I tell Marcia I'm going to go up to study for the sermon. I've got to pray for the sermon. If somebody calls for me, tell them I'm in an important meeting and I can't be disturbed right now. Because I'm not lying. I mean, I'm meeting with God. How can it get me more important than that? So I'm up there and I have my topic. It has to do with your testimony. And I was thinking about that. And I usually just write the thoughts to come down and I kind of try to put them in together in an order when I'm done with my thoughts. And I had this thought, what if someone would say, I just don't have any good things that God's done in my life, a current testimony. Now, I had people say that for me. Maybe you're thinking, I hope that wasn't me. I won't tell you if there was anybody in here. But what I wrote is, if you don't have any good testimony, shame on you. Shame on you. Because that means you haven't been walking with Jesus. You haven't allowed him to do some amazing things in your life. Does that make sense? So it's just shame on you if you don't have anything from this last week. Well, you know, every one of us are as close to God as we want to be. That's just the bottom line. If I don't have any current testimony, guess whose fault it was? It's all Sue's. No. It's me. It's my fault because I haven't been pressing into God and allowing him to use me and allowing him to teach me. A lot of the missions we support on a monthly basis, some of them all around the world, and with a tithe, our tithe from the church every week. At the end of the week, a month, we send out these gifts to all these different missions that we support. Anything from our buddies in Romania to our buddies in Israel, to on and on and on. But I always try to put a little note with most of them. Let me tell you something God did in me this week. Or let me share a verse with you that meant so much to me this week. Because everybody likes good news, and we all should have a testimony. If you can't come up with a verse that meant something to you this week, my guess is you didn't read very much of the Bible this week. Because they're there. They're there for all of us. He wants to offer his love. He wants to offer his forgiveness. He wants to offer his encouragement. And we need to be able to convey those things to other people because that's what they need just as much as we do. I had two things come to mind. One of them this morning and the other one during worship. The first one, I was just a fairly new Christian up in Alaska. I was going to college up there and I gave my life to Jesus in my dorm room. Wasn't in a church, it wasn't in any place else. I just gave my life to Jesus there. And so I started attending this Christian group around the college. And we were sitting in a circle. And all of a sudden, I felt like God laid something on my heart. You ever feel like God ever laid something on your heart to do or say? And this was a whole new ballgame to me. I did not want to say it. I did not want to do it. What if I'm wrong? And I could tell you a few times that I thought I was wrong and it turned out to be an amazing miracle. But this was the one that came to my mind. I opened my eyes and looked around. There might have been maybe 20 or 30 college kids there with us, me and the others, and my eyes fell on this one lady kind of right across the circle from me. And I felt like God say, go up and tell her that Jesus loves you. What if she gets the wrong feeling? I'm trying to hit on her? No, no, no. Okay, I will do it. And I don't remember how long, but it was not that split second. But it was within a minute, I finally got up enough nerve to walk over to this lady and get in her face and say, I just feel God wants me to tell you that he loves you. What happened? She melted into my arms and started weeping like a little baby. I said, it's all right. What's wrong? What's wrong? I didn't even know her name. And she said, you had no idea what you just said, because I had planned how I was going to end my life after this meeting and go out and commit suicide. And then you come in, you had the audacity to say that God loves me? And then she cried all the more. I think I was crying by then. You have no idea how it's going to end up. A week or two ago, God laid on my heart to call this other person. I don't know if I ever called this other person before, but I called this person. I said, is this so-and-so? Yeah. Well, you sound like you're crying. I am crying. What's wrong? People just told me that I was worthless, that they don't want to even be around me. Yeah. Don't say this doesn't happen. It happens. Probably more people than we realize it. And then she started crying more. All it took was a phone call. The book that Bill took, the name of it is Walk Across the Room. Just walk across the room, right? See, you don't have to be this Billy Graham to make this happen. You just have to be willing to walk across the room and let God direct you to the people that need some encouragement or a word of hope or a love. Like, Jesus just loves you. Wonder what would have happened if I wouldn't have done that. I would have hoped God would have found somebody to be more faithful than me and saved her before she committed suicide. I don't know. I don't know. You know, there's safe ways to do in this. Something I've done in my 47 years almost of a pastor is I've never met alone with a lady in the office. I've had to, when Marcia's out of town sometimes, at a, you might be pure in heart, and they might be pure in heart, but gossip isn't always pure in heart. So I don't even want to look like I could do something that would hurt or tarnish my witness of Jesus in public. And so I know nobody was here. Marsh was speaking at a conference down in Lancaster. So I said, you need to come in and sit down in the office. A woman wants to meet with me for prayer, but I don't do that by myself. So I've safeguarded myself from that for 47 years. You wouldn't know the pastors that have not done that biblical principle, and it cost them many times their marriage. Yeah. So if you're doing this, it works best if it's one-on-one. The people will listen to you more if you're just one-on-one. But then, guys, do it with guys. Ladies, do it with ladies. Keeps the safeguards up and keeps everyone out of trouble, but still do it. People want to hear encouraging news. Even if they wouldn't admit it, they're listening and they're taking something in. I had a word come to mind as I was closing this up last night. It was late, and I was glad I was going to have an extra hour today. I had to go downstairs. Guess who I turned to? Two people. First was, "Mars, how do you spell this word? I know it's in the Bible, but I don't know what it means. I never did a study on it." And the second one is I went to Bing. Micah loves that Bing sound. It's a, you know, a go-to thing. You can find stuff on the internet. And it's my favorite one. So the word was balm. And I said, "How do you spell this? Not B-O-W-B, is it?" And Marcia said, "No, I think it's B-A-L-M, balm." And so I looked it up, and I found several definitions for that and used in the scripture. But basically, a balm is this. God wants us to be able to offer a healing balm to other people. It's like an ointment that you can put on something and it would bring healing. But it's more than that. It could be just a spiritual thing. But it could be bring healing to your mental capacity. It could bring healing to your spirituality. It could bring healing to even physical, emotional healing. And as I was thinking about it and praying about it, it's like, that's what our testimony should do to other people. You share something that Jesus did in your life that's so encouraging that it's like giving them a healing balm. You understand what I'm saying? And you don't have to make that happen. You just have to do your part and say what you feel God wants you to say or do what you feel God wants you to do and let God use that to make it a healing balm to minister to other people. In conclusion, we need to be giving people the good news. We need to go up, walk across the room, like I did with that lady in Alaska, like I did with that person I called on the phone, and give them some good news. Sometimes you have to say, "Well, you know, that's just not right. That's not how God sees about you." You see, people need to see the value and worth that they have. And lots of times there's nobody in their life to tell them. So we need to be the ones to do it. Tell them the good news. Tell them how important they could be to God. Give them the good news. I had this other picture, mental picture. You might think I'm really stretching the limits today. And you don't all have to do it. But this is what comes to my mind. Like this this huddle on the football game, and they're getting ready. "We've got to make this touchdown where we'll win or we'll lose." So they call the whole huddle together and they put their hands together and they holler something and then they hit one another's hands and they scoop and yell something. And it's like a war call or a, you know what I'm trying to say? So anybody want to just stand here with me in this little huddle? And I'm going to say, "Jesus wins." And we're going to go, "Yay!" I can at least get half a dozen guinea pigs, right? Come on up here. I don't want to do this. I'm going to really look stupid if I'm doing this huddle by myself. Okay, thank you. Yeah, put all our hands up there.
Okay, now all the church is coming.
That's all right. We'll take everybody we can get. Okay. We're going to win this thing.
Yes.
We're going to win this for other people around us.
Yes.
Because we're going to use our testimony to testify how good God is. And we're going to win, and Jesus is going to help us win. Yes. On the count of three, we're going to all scream, "Jesus, Are you ready? One, two, three. Jesus! That's all we have to do. We have to take it seriously. Thank you. Amen. Now go do something with somebody.